So family, here we are in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. She's in the field now. She's working. And the Bible says in verse 5 that Boaz, he asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and drink from the water, the jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you would notice me, a foreigner?" Let us pray, family. Father, what have we done that you would notice us? That you would take time to spend with us right now? Father, as we labor just a little bit longer in the field, as we attempt to glean just a little bit more, Father, have something for us. We want the harvest. Father, we need your compassion and your kindness. Father, this can only happen by your presence. Be here. Fill this place. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So the Bible tells us, family, the Bible tells us that Ruth is in a field laboring. She's doing good deeds, and when Boaz notices her, he asks the foreman, "What's the 411 on this woman?" And the foreman's like, "Oh, this is the Moabitess. This is the woman who was so kind to Naomi. This is the one who showed compassion. This is the one that's taking care of her mother-in-law. She could have stayed at home and could have tried to hook up with some ex-boyfriends, but she decided she would go to a foreign land. Pastor Thomas talked about it. I said in the discipline of, well, he called it the discipline of vision center change. I like to call it the discipline of new cheese. The discipline of new cheese. Ruth decided that she would go to the house of plenty. She decided to get new cheese. She decided, like, in a way that Elimelech should have decided, right? To not become satisfied with the stagnant state of his life and predicament. He should have always been thinking down the road, should have always been thinking about how to harvest something new. We should never be comfortable with just where we are. We don't know if we'll have the job we have today next week. We don't know what kind of famine will come into our life. So that's why sometimes, family, even when you're in the Word and you're studying and you think to yourself, "I'm not getting anything out of this. This is boring. This is the same old food." You don't know. Sometimes just storing up that food is perfect for a time of famine. When your life is in hibernation and you wake up from your stupor and your slumber and there's food and you begin to recall the stuff that was so boring, the stuff that was the same old, now has a newness to it, a freshness to it. And you say, "Now I get it. Now I know what God was teaching me 2 weeks ago. I didn't get it then, but I sure do get it now in my famine." And so the Bible tells us that Ruth is, she's proactive, she's persevering, she's involved, she's in the field. And the Bible says that Boaz notices her, and then he begins to show her favor. She begins to show her favor. Now, she doesn't understand why Boaz is showing her favor, because she's just a foreigner. But what Ruth doesn't understand, and family, listen to this, what she doesn't understand is that her character has preceded her. Her character has preceded her. The Bible often talks about us reaping what we have sown. You've heard it. And a lot of times we talk about it in the sense of being wicked, being evil, just being cruel. And people say, "The Lord don't bless ugly. He's going to get you back one day," right? But you know what? There's something else to that component. A lot of times, family, when we sow goodness, When we're sowing kindness, when we sow patience, when we're willing to sow the fruits of the Spirit, the seeds of the Spirit, family, we get to reap that harvest. In fact, I actually believe that your harvest will match your character. Your harvest will match your character. Some of you are wondering why you're in the same situation you're in right now. You were here last year and the year before, and you're trying to figure out why you haven't had any movement. You have the same character. Nothing has changed from within, so nothing changes from without. You still glean in the same area. You keep dating the same dudes. And you start asking the question, why do I keep attracting the same people? I wonder why. I know we just worship. We shouldn't be stepping on people's toes right about now. But let's be real. We attract who we are. Your character is always going to match your harvest. And so here is Ruth. She's experiencing goodwill. But why is she experiencing goodwill? Because she's one who gives goodwill. Because she has chosen to be selfless, she now sees someone who's actually inspired by her selflessness, and then he becomes selfless. Now, Boaz might have been a cool guy before, but I have to think that Boaz wasn't that cool. I mean, he was all right, but he wasn't that all right. Because if he had it all together, he probably wouldn't have had to warn his guys, like, hey guys, watch out for her, make sure she doesn't get hurt. You hear me? See, his vineyard should have already been straight. It should have already been a place for safety. Every woman, no matter what her background was, she should have been able to walk up into his vineyard, walk up into his farm, and been able to be protected by his men. So that Boaz has to kind of like warn them not to mess with her means that he allowed mess before. But something is happening within Boaz. Something is beginning to shift his ideals, beginning to shift his direction, to shift his vision, and he's starting to see practical, beneficial purpose in following God's principles. This is good stuff, he's saying. I like this. A foreigner being that good? What's my excuse? All right, fellas, you watch out for her, okay? Let me tell you something. Good character, the discipline of good character, begins to impact the people around you. Have you ever been around a person who doesn't like to use coarse language? And you hang out with them? And the first time you slip, what do you start doing? Oops, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. That just slipped. Around people that use coarse language, you feel like you're right at home. Around people that you know don't fit that type of lifestyle, you begin to apologize for your behavior. You pull out the cigarette and you start apologizing. I'm sorry. Look, I know you probably don't smoke, do you? Okay, I'm sorry. I'll put this away. You don't drink? We're going to have happy hour. You don't? Okay, yeah, I'll take a lemonade as well. Strawberry lemonade. I'll take on the rocks. Don't you see how good character has a way of impacting your life? Some of you totally change up when you show up at your grandparents' house. Totally change up. Become spiritual again. There's something about good character that creates an environment that begins to change the atmosphere. When people are around, they can't help but be impacted by it. Now Ruth has an aura around her and everybody's influenced by it. In fact, the foreman's saying, man, she's a hard worker. And she just only rested for a little bit. And think about some of the good character traits. Let's just break it down here. What we have found out so far in this passage is that Ruth is a hard worker. We learn that from the discipline of perseverance. She's a hard worker. She's a self-starter. She doesn't need anybody to push her. She told her mother-in-law, I'm going to work. You keep on watching the reruns of Price is Right. I'm out. She's a hard worker. I'm glad when moms doesn't have to call me to get up in the morning. I'm glad that I don't need the conference president to call me up and ask me if I've been visiting, if I've been studying, if I've been preaching. I'm glad when people don't need all the prodding and the prompting and all the pushing to do what you're supposed to do. Amen. She's a hard worker. What's another thing that we learn about? We learn about Ruth, because see, some of you are like, Pastor, you're talking about me. I'm a hard worker. I'm a workaholic. Well, you shouldn't be that either. Because one thing Ruth tells us in her character is that she knows when to rest. Hello. She knows when to rest. See, don't get so caught up that, you know, I'm going to make millions. I'm going to make something of myself. And you begin to ignore what your body, your mind, your emotional state needs. You cannot be successful if you ignore your family in life. You cannot consider yourself a successful entrepreneur if you have left God out of your daily activities. You must know when it's time to rest, when it's time to come aside. Jesus says, come all you who are heavy laden, who are burdened down. Come and what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you, my burden upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a time to work. There is a time for rest. There's a time for play. Ruth knew when it was time to rest. She had the vision center, right? Discipline, right? Yeah, she knew how to plan. She knew how to look ahead. See, Ruth wasn't going to work so hard today that she was going to be too worn out for the next day. Hello? She knew that she had to take care of her body, so she would work in the way that was responsible. She would do her work for today, but then she would rest. She would take her breaks. Amen. So, family, you have to know. You have to be a hard worker, but family, you have to know when to rest, when it's time, when it's time to set aside. In fact, I love the commandment, the fourth commandment. We always talk about how that commandment's about rest, but it's also about work. You know that, right? The commandment says, 6 days shall thou what? Labor and do what? All thy work, all right? So 6 days we should be working. That's a commandment. It wasn't a suggestion. Even in a perfect world, Adam and Eve had work to do. We are designed, family, to work. That's why many, many Americans, after retiring, die a few years after retirement because they're not working anymore. They've lost their purpose, their will to even live. And family, believe it or not, there are many Christians sitting in these pews that are dying. They retired before they even started working in the field. They've already begun to die, not working in the church, not involved. You don't do anything during the week to help anybody out. God has given us a time to work and a time to rest. That's why I'm glad we have come aside today. You shouldn't be working. You shouldn't have anybody working for you. No restaurants. Oh, don't get quiet now. Don't get quiet. Oh, you going amen when it's all the stuff you're doing, right? I'm pretty sure the Bible did say it, our manservant, our maidservant. Not even my dog Mellow can work for me. My animals have to rest. My Bible tells me I shouldn't be buying or selling. But Pastor, they're going to be working anyways. But guess what? You're trying to add more work to their day. Well, they're going to be working. Well, they shouldn't be working for you. It's your day off. It should be their day off. If you don't respect it, bad on you. So there's a time for what? Work. And there's a time for what? rest, rest, rest. So listen to what Boaz then says to her in verse 11, right? Boaz replied, I have been told about you, what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and have come to live with a people you did not know before. Understand what Ruth is going through right now. She has left siblings behind. She has left mother and father behind. She is a widow. She is still grieving the loss of her husband. And listen, it still has not stopped her from doing what she has to do. Some of us like to make excuses. Well, Pastor, you don't know. This happened to me when I was 6. Yeah, but you're 46 now. I know it was unfair. I know it was cruel. I know that you've been suppressing it. But listen, if you are in the house of God and you are in the Word, you must know that God sets the captives free. We have no excuse to stay shackled to our bitterness, to our grief, to our abuse from the past. We have to sometime in our life, stand up. Because God has empowered us to do so. That's why Sister Lilia was talking about, she almost went off on the girl. She didn't, right? But she almost went off. She didn't do that, but she came close. All right? So we're going to trust that she didn't go off. But Lilia is so passionate because she deals with young ladies like this all the time, and they don't understand that they, connected with God, can do anything. So listen to what, so Boaz is going on, he's talking about all the things that he's heard about her and how she has forsaken family and moved on. And he says, may the Lord do what? May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. What did I say at the beginning? We are rewarded, family, for good character. Don't mistake in that. You are rewarded for good character. And it's not always because God himself is making certain it happens. There are just some natural laws. You reap what you have sown. Some of you are where you are today, not because you had the academic prowess or intelligence, the IQ, the EQ, none of it. But you are where you are today because of your character. Somebody just likes you. They just want you around the office. You still can't do your job right. But they like you around. The office is a better place because of you. Let me tell you something right now. If you were let go right now, would you be missed in your workplace? Would there be a different presence in the workplace if you were removed? Family, it should be so intoxicating when you are in the workplace that just like when Naomi was rolling, Ruth said, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever your office is, that's where I'm going to be. We should have an aroma of God's presence that is with us wherever we go, where people just want to be glued to our cubicle. Amen. So listen what happens here. She's being rewarded for character. This is why. Now, let me tell you something. If he found out that Ruth was the one that killed her husband, and he found out that Ruth was only hanging out with Naomi because she was hoping to steal her money, to steal her 401k, if that's why she was hanging out, would he be wanting to bless her? Would he want to bless her? Absolutely not. She's rewarded for good character. Let's continue on. He says, May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. She said, you have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. At mealtime, check this out, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread, dip it in the wine vinegar, sit down with me, girl. What did I say? I said there was a time for work, there was a time for rest, and there's a time for play. Hello. We can't neglect it. He said, girl, come on, look, hang out with me. We're gonna do a, you know, little strawberry lemonade, right? Just sit down. Come on. Just, you know, Boaz don't have that much game, but he had a little bit of game, doesn't he? Just a little bit. Come on, girl. Just have a little seat. Have a little seat here. Let's just hang out. Let's get some salsa and chips. Let's just hang out a little bit. Some of us are so imbalanced in our life that it's either work or sleep. It's work and rest and no play. Your kids don't know you. You never play with them. Your husband and you don't know who each other is. When's the last time you've gone out on a date with one another? When's the last time it was a fun date? Not just a drive-through through Burger King. When's the last time you went miniature golfing with one another? Well, yeah, we did that when we were like getting to know each other. Well, you're not getting to know each other anymore. You don't even know who one another is anymore. You've lost touch. There is a time for work. There is a time for rest. And there is a time for play. My girl Ruth knows how to get down. She could have told Boaz, no, I'm straight. I'm good. Just rested. I just took a 5-minute break. I got more to do out in the field. And she pulled up a chair, got her little strawberry lemonade, asked for the green salsa. What's important, family? What's important? See, good character. Listen to what I'm saying here. Listen to what I'm saying here. Good character means that you know how to be balanced in your life. Good character creates balance in your life. You don't abuse others. You don't abuse yourself. Let me say it again. You don't abuse others and you don't abuse yourself. You begin to look at all the things that create a healthy balance in your life. You become temperate. You don't eat too much. You don't eat too little. Come on. You begin to even read the back of packages because you care about the balance in your body. Do you know that depression is a result of a chemical imbalance in your brain? When you become an imbalanced person, everything in your life begins to teeter and totter. So she knows when to work. She knows when to rest. She knows when to play, when to just chill, when to hang out, when to play with the kids, when to watch Elmo with the babies or the adults, if you're me. The Bible then continues on as we continue to read the word. It says she ate it all that she wanted and that she had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, even if she gathered among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, and then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah, and she carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over when she had eaten enough. Look, man, this is so good. Let's have some fun with this stuff. Let's have some fun with this. Listen to what happens here. So after she fills up, did you notice that she asked the waiter for a takeout? Oh, that's good stuff. Where's my dad? My dad here? Where's my dad? Where's dad? I see him back there. All right, so one of the things that my dad likes to do, and my dad is sweet, man. My dad is a sweet dude. I mean, he's a man's man. But then, you know, he got that other side to him, all right? So my dad's a nurturer by nature. I mean, he will take care of you. So when we go out to eat, my dad always eats just enough for himself, and then he saves some more, just enough, just the rest of it, for grandma. He'll ask for a takeout, and he puts it all nice and neat in the little sections. Nothing's just spilling over. There's no juices mixing up. He just has it all neat and packed there. And when he goes home, he says, Mama, I have something for you. And my grandmother just pulls out the fork, and she sits at the table, and Dad prepares it for her, puts it on a plate. You see what happens with good character, family? You see, good character, can I keep going? Good character shares. Good character shares. Good character works hard like a capitalist, but good character shares like a socialist. There's balance. They work hard. They work hard for the money. But when it comes time for people who are in need, they don't mind pulling out their checkbooks. They don't mind giving up. They don't mind being like Zacchaeus and saying, although I am wealthy, I give it all up because there's people in greater need than myself. They'll work hard like a capitalist, but they'll share like a socialist. They'll make sure that no one is left behind. Ruth came back home. She says, Mama, I know you're still depressed. I know you're Mara. I know you're bitter. I know you're still grieving your son's loss. I understand that. I'm grieving too. I have just as many excuses as you have. But check this out. I'm going to work for us. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to help you. I'm going to nurse you back to health again. I'm going to make sure you're whole again. I'm not just going to stuff myself. I'm not just going to gorge on my blessings and my good character. I'm going to make sure no one's left behind, Mama. I brought you some food. That's a good word. Next one. Next point about a good character. A good character knows how to follow instructions. Listen to what Boaz tells Ruth. Listen to what happens here. He tells her where to glean, right? He tells her what to do. He tells his men what to do. And Ruth follows instructions. Good character knows how to follow the leader. Good character knows how to follow the leader. Can I say that one more time? Good character knows how to follow the leader. Good character knows when to submit. Look, now we got problems. Oh, no. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. What if, family, we had such character that we actually followed our leader? What if, like Jesus' prayer, Father, may your will be done on earth as it is? What would earth look like if his will was done on earth as it is in? We need to learn how to follow the leader. Sometimes that means, family, submitting to those who know best, who can see the big picture. Sometimes, believe it or not, that might mean listening to your boss or Pastor Thomas. Or Pastor Mark Ishikawa, or Pastor Mark Woodson, or Pastor Mark Lim, and Pastor Enoch. It might mean listening to elders. Amen. It might mean listening to the treasurer. Good character knows how to follow instructions. There's not too many chiefs running around. Everybody knows what's best, right? When you already know, Mama knows best. When we learn to understand some of these concepts, that's when we begin to reap the harvest. What did I say again? Your character, your harvest is always going to match what? Your character. Absolutely. All the time, family. All the time. So you know how to work hard. You know when to rest. You know when to play, when to socialize, when to hang out, have fun. You know how to follow instructions. Family, you know how to share. And when you know all these things, can I read something to you? We're closing right now. Can I just read something to you? What happened is that I love this quote. And as I was reading the quote, I decided to read a little bit more around it, and it was just so good, I had to include it. Can we just read? Let's read a little bit. It's taken from Christ's object lessons. It's taken from Christ's objects lessons. And you know Auntie Ellie, you know she'd be putting it down. She'd be writing it. Check this out. So she's actually writing from the parable of Jesus in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 and on, where Jesus talks about a farmer who plants a seed, right? You reap what you sow. So a farmer who plants a seed, right? This is in Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 26. And the Bible says that whether the farmer sleeps, whether he wakes up, whether he's working hard, whether he's playing, whether he's hanging out, socializing, no matter what he's doing, all by itself, this seed begins to grow. First the blade of grass, the blade of the shoot, whatever it is, all right? Then the stalk, then the full kernel. And he says, when the harvest is ready, he then takes the sickle to it. So this is the parable. It's powerful. It's all about sowing. It's all about sowing and reaping the harvest. So listen to what she says here. We're just going to have some fun. Can we read? You have it right here. Okay, so here we go. The wheat develops first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn is the ear. The object of the husbandman in the sowing of the seed and the culture of the growing plant is the production of grain. He desires what? Bread for the hungry. Even the harvester family has purpose with his harvest. He desires bread for the hungry and seed for the future harvest. New cheese. New cheese. He's thinking down the road. The Bible, I mean, she says it's object lessons, Christ's object lessons. She continues on. Christ is seeking, check this out, to reproduce himself in the hearts of men. And he does this through those who believe in him. The object of the Christian life is fruit bearing. The reproduction of Christ's character in the believer that it may be reproduced in others. Ooh, I like it. It's like a production plant here, isn't it? Something's happening within us, and because something is happening within us, something begins to happen within others. So she continues on. She then says, the plant does not germinate, grow, or bring forth fruit for itself, but to give what? Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Oh, this is good word here. So no man is to live unto himself. The Christian is in the world as a representative of Christ for the salvation of other souls. There can be no growth or fruitfulness in the life that is centered in self. If you have accepted Christ as a personal Savior, you are to forget self and try to help others. Talk of the love of Christ. Tell of his goodness. I want to say excellent goodness. That's all right. Do every duty that presents itself. Be a good worker, a hard worker. Carry the burden of souls upon your heart, and by every means in the power, seek to save the lost. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love, and labor for others, you will grow and bring what? You will bring forth fruit. The graces of the Spirit will ripen your character. Your faith will increase. Your convictions deepen. Your love be made perfect more and more. You will reflect the likeness of Christ in all that is pure, noble, and lovely. Isn't this good? She then quotes Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This fruit can never perish. Somebody say hallelujah. This fruit can never perish, but will produce after its kind a harvest. Look at your neighbor and say harvest. Harvest. It will produce a harvest unto eternal life. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put the sickle to it, because the harvest is come. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church, when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people. Then he will come to claim his own. Somebody say that God is good. The path, listen, the word is so clear on this. And Auntie Ellen, she's piggybacking. She's just using verses to support what she's saying here. I love this. She says, when God's character is perfectly reproduced in his people, we're going home. Did you hear? When it's perfectly reproduced in his people, we're going home. No, Pastor, when there's an earthquake. No. When his character is perfectly reproduced in his people, he will come. A wedding never starts until the bride is ready. Try getting married. I don't care if the band is ready, if the organist is ready, if the pianist is ready. I don't care if the bishop, the pastor, the preacher is ready. I don't care if the groom is ready. I don't care if the wedding attendants are ready, if the bridal party is ready. If the bride isn't ready, the wedding will not start. God is waiting for his bride to be ready, to be adorned, as Ezekiel 16 says. To be beautifully adorned. And the adoration and the adorning is his character perfectly reproduced in his people. And not just individually, collectively. Nobody's left behind. Woo! nobody is left behind. If my hand is in the back, I gotta go get it. If I have a pinky, I'm making sure I don't leave it behind. No one is left behind. Family, the discipline of character. God is waiting. We just studied this in Sabbath school all last quarter. Aren't you ready for God to finish the work He's begun in you? No one's left behind. That means that you and I don't want Christ to come until we have our neighbors. We don't want the Lord to come until we begin to finish the work He gave us to do. Let me tell you something. How does God know that His character has been perfectly reproduced in us? Because His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. When we solve the world hunger problem, then Jesus will come. Did you hear me? When we solve the world hunger problem, then He will come. Why would He trust you with a new earth if people are just going to go hungry on it? No, Pastor, no. No, it's supposed to get worse before it gets better. But what if, family, just what if we begin the process of making the world new on this side? That when Christ comes again, the only thing He has to do is give us some new trees, a new fountain, a couple new mountains, because we already have the newness of heart. His character has been perfectly reproduced in us. Let's end the homelessness problem in Oakland. It takes character to do that. You know that, right? But no one's left behind. Let's fix our educational system in Oakland. No one is left behind. Are you ready for that calling? Are you ready to be disciplined unto good character? Is there some here who wants to make that stand? You just simply want to say, God, I want to be a part of that church. I want to be used. I want to be a part. No one left behind. I want to do my part. Even if I'm a pinky, if I'm a toenail, I want to do my part. Lord, I want to know how to work. I want to know when to rest. I want to be balanced. I want to share. Lord, I want to do my part. I want the good character. I want the fruits of the Spirit. Live in me, Lord. Live in me. May your character be reproduced in me. May it affect my family. May the aroma of your presence be contagious wherever I go. That's where you want to be. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as we pray. Just stand to your feet. That's where you are. Make a commitment. Make a commitment to Christ today. Make a commitment to Christ today. Is there someone here? Someone here who has never made that commitment to Christ, but you want to make it right now. You want to slip out of the pews and you want to come down to this aisle. You want to come down the aisle to the front. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to come right now. Come right now. I'm not going to wait. Just come right now. If that is where you are, God has called you. He has touched you today, and you know it is time for you to surrender all. If that is where you at, that's where you are, I'm gonna ask you to slip down right now. Just slip down right now. If that is where you are, I'm asking you to slip down just right now. I don't know what your story is, but that might be what you want to say today. Lord, I'm giving you my heart right now. I want to be baptized. I want to join your church. The doors are open right now. As we pray, Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Father, for reminding us of who we are. Thank you for reminding us of how important the discipline of character is. Father, we want to see your character perfectly reproduced. Thank you again for the word in Ruth. Thank you again, Father, for the challenge that you have given us. Father, we want you to come. We are ready for the harvest. We know you're waiting for the harvest, but we haven't done our part. We're now ready to do that. Father, may good character go with us. May our good character precede us wherever we go. And Father, may we reap the harvest because we have sown a good seed. We have sown good seeds in people's life, that of joy, that of happiness, that of kindness, that of long suffering, that of patience. Lord, we've done our part. We have sown. Father, bring the harvest. Bring the harvest. Father, we follow instructions. Father, we do it. Thank you so much for hearing our prayer. Thank you for accepting our recommittal, Father. Thank you so much for accepting us as workers in your vineyard. In Jesus' name, let the redeemed say, amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all.